But I got a report just a few days ago about a young man who just passed away. Rather tragic report, and yet kind of a glorious report at the same time. This man was a brother in San Antonio, Texas, and he has a wife that is very sick with lupus. He was her caretaker, basically. And he has a daughter, 17 years old. And the other day he was driving along, picture of health, suddenly had a heart attack in his car and just went home to be with the Lord. And so one of the reasons I say that it was kind of a glorious report is this young man was a black man. And when he first came to fellowship in San Antonio, he was he had kind of an attitude. He could last so long around white folks, and then he'd say, "You don't want me here," you know. And we didn't know that, but he discerned that somehow. And he was, you know, kind of flaky. And from that time, many years ago till now, God had really gotten hold of his life, and he had been ministering to people one-on-one. This is kind of a glorious part, and I think this is something that would edify us because we can emulate it. And he just got joyous about the Lord. And he began in his church to get hold of other young men and begin to do with them what had been done with him. When he came into the fellowship, we used to take him down into the downtown of San Antonio, preach on the streets, do a lot of evangelism. And he was quite a soul winner. And he got in the Word, and he loved the Word, just loved the Word, and he began to teach the Word. So everybody he was with, all the time, he was teaching them the Word. And he began to take them down onto the streets and preach the gospel. People got saved. A little fellowship sprang up there. And those men, now he was leading them, and for about the last few months he's been saying to them, "Hey, you guys, I won't be around forever. You guys got to start doing this." And they did. They've started doing that. And, of course, Mike was right. He wasn't going to be around forever. He didn't know when he was leaving, but he's gone. But because he was diligent during those years, he's left behind him quite a legacy, a real blessing. And so his ministry will go on and on. I think about Orville. So those of you who knew Orville, his ministry goes on and on. And we're living in days, saints, where we are seeing things come against the church. I believe we're going to have to stand pretty steadfast. We've been talking like this now for a couple of years. But I believe that it's becoming more and more evident, isn't it? That the church is under attack. Things are changing. Even those who profess to be Christians are changing their attitudes about the Word. Just read a little piece in Newsweek on the way up here. We bought a Newsweek magazine. Had a picture of Billy Graham on the front of it. And it says his new view of politics and of the gospel and of the Bible. And in the article he says that he's kind of changed his mind. He doesn't think that everything in the Bible is from the Lord. And kind of a shocker, saints, when people that we look up to fall prey to the enemy's suggestions that the Bible isn't all given to us by inspiration of God, things like this. So we have to, what prompted me to get up here, I wasn't going to do that this evening, was the fact that we just sang, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Because we're all leaders, you know. And so when we look at each other, when we look at big men or big names or big anything, then pretty soon we can be influenced and swayed because that's where our sights are set. I remember talking one time up here about setting our sights. It's like we're on a ship, and if we set our focus in something in that ship, we can't tell that the ship is drifting. Everything still seems fine because our focus is in something inside the ship. But if we focus on something that's forever permanent on the shore, we can see that our ship is drifting. And I believe that the focal point has to be in our lives, the Lord Jesus. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. I believe we're going to be seeing in these days the church as we know it, at least the visible church, drifting. And we're already seeing that. And one of the things we don't want to do is drift with it. All of us are going to have the testimony one day. We're going to go away suddenly. Some of us are going to be old. Some of us are going to be young. But it's appointed on the man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And I would like for us to be like the young man I just told you about. He hadn't always been at the epitome of holiness. But then God got hold of his heart, and he lived a short life. He died. But he left behind something very permanent. He left behind him people who are setting their eyes upon Jesus. Now, we don't know, saints, even you youngsters, we don't know how long we're going to be here. We don't know what we're going to leave behind us. But when we leave, saints, we want to have been the peer pressure. We don't want to be influenced by the world. We want to influence the world with our lives. And we can't do that if we're not looking at Jesus. So I'd like to pray for us before we really get underway in this conference and ask the Lord to really show us the Lord Jesus, to cause us to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And incidentally, we need to, if you feel a little lethargic tonight, we don't want to be lethargic through this conference. We need to get enthused about the Lord Jesus and enthused about the Word. So, let's pray and let's ask God for some holy enthusiasm for this conference. Father, we call upon you, Lord, tonight in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for your gift of life. Lord, I thank you especially tonight, Father, that you've given us a real further opportunity, Lord, to fellowship with your people. Lord, I ask you, dear God, for each of us who are here tonight and those who will be here tomorrow and the next day. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will move among us, that you will pour upon us, Heavenly Father, that holy enthusiasm, Lord, that Moses had when he would not partake of the pleasures of sin for a season, but, Lord, enthusiastically followed you outside the camp. And, Lord, as we look to you, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name tonight that you'll cause us to be a people who are able to resist even unto blood against sin, Lord, we pray. Now, Father, we want to commit our conference to you. We want to commit our hearts to you. We want to commit every word that's spoken to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Then I'd like to read a verse or two just before I sit down. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So, let's strive against sin, setting our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Thanks.